Joining us once again on The Green is contributor Larry Nagengast, who this week takes a look ahead to a very critical referendum vote in the Christina School District next week and what it could mean if that referendum fails. Larry, we appreciate your time again here on The Green this week.
Always glad to be here.
You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. School referendums are difficult enough to pass under normal conditions. But with a global pandemic still in progress, forcing schools to remote learning, severely damaging the economy, and leaving state and local budgets under duress, getting voters to approve one now seems an almost impossible task. But it's the one the Christina School District faces right now, with voters heading to the polls Tuesday to decide if they will back a tax increase. And the stakes couldn't be higher. The district has already signaled drastic cuts will be made if this referendum fails. This week, contributor Larry Nagengast digs into what the referendum is seeking, why it's needed, and what will happen if it comes up short. It's all in his piece, available at DelawarePublic.org. And Larry joined me earlier this week to discuss it. For a district that has seemed to be in perpetual crisis, this is perhaps as bad as it's ever been. If this referendum were to fail, Larry, the cuts coming are severe. What's at stake? What is the cost of failure this time in Christina?
Okay, well, last year, when the district's referendum proposal failed, Christina had to cut its spending by $9 million. That resulted in larger class sizes in the lower grades, but most of the other reductions, according to what parents told me, amounted to trimming the fat, as it were. So everything else seemed pretty normal for most families in most of the schools during the current school year. This year, however, if the referendum fails, Christina is looking at another $10 million in budget reductions, and there's no fat left to trim. So the school board announced last month how it's going to cut that $10 million, and here's what it means. No sports, no curriculum for gifted and talented children, no extracurricular or co-curricular activities, the end of a popular dual-language Chinese immersion program, no more Montessori Academy, no district-wide strings programs, no instrumental music in elementary schools, no instructional coaches and curriculum specialists in key subject areas, and the elimination of 67 jobs, most of them belonging to teachers.
So to avoid all that, what is the district seeking from residents this time? What would it do, and how long would it solve the problem if it in fact passes?
Okay. Well, the district is looking for a current operations tax increase that totals 39 cents per $100 of assessed valuation. 29 cents would be added to the rate as of this July 1st, and then 5 cents more in each of the next 2 years. Passing the referendum would prevent those cuts that I just mentioned. It would pretty much restore the cuts that were made last year, and it would give the district enough money to continue its operations for the next 3 school years. Now, in a separate referendum question, the district is asking for another 5-cent hike in order to purchase a new English language arts curriculum for its elementary schools. If both of these requests passed, for a property that's assessed at $64,100, which is the district average, taxes would increase by about $218 or $18 a month in the coming year, and by a total of about $23 a month in the third year when the third phase of the proposed tax hike would take effect. Now, there are also two other questions on the ballot that relate to bond issues for capital improvements at 6 schools, repairs, maintenance, a little bit of new construction. Now, approving these items would add less than a dollar a month to the average tax bill, and that increase would gradually disappear as the district's older bonds are paid off. Now, if you're a Christina resident, you can look in my story and find the links to the web pages that will show you how to calculate the impact on the taxes for the property that you own.
And that's really a good idea for people because it is very complicated, and it's sometimes better just to know what it means to you rather than just kind of looking at the averages. Part of the reason we've reached this point, Larry, is the district's historic trouble passing referendums. First, before we kind of dig into some of that, what is Christina's recent track record on referendums?
Well, as that noted orator Yogi Berra used to say, it's deja vu all over again. In 2015, residents twice voted down proposed tax increases, and then they approved the tax hike in 2016 that was supposed to keep the district running smoothly for 3 years. When the 3 years were up, the district proposed a tax hike last year. That referendum failed, which means they had to stretch for a fourth year without any tax increases. Budget cuts were made, and here we are. The district is trying once again for a needed tax increase.
And we've talked about it before, but let's refresh people's memories. What are some of the issues that are unique to Christina that makes referendums such a heavy lift in that district?
Well, I'll tell you, in Delaware, people sure do have long memories. And, there was a time 20 or 30 years ago, I don't recall exactly when, but a bunch of incumbent legislators were defeated because they had dared raise the renewal fee on driver's licenses after they had remained the same for 20 years or so. So it's pretty much the same kind of thing in Christina right now, but for a lot of different reasons. First, let's go back to 1978 with desegregation. That created a school district that was divided into two parts, one in Wilmington and the other in the Newark, Bear, Glasgow area. People didn't like busing then, and they remember it now, even though the desegregation order was actually lifted 25 years ago. The district has also had a number of management issues. The most notable came some 15 years ago when a former superintendent engineered the purchase of a building that wasn't needed, and then he mismanaged other funds and left the district more than $10 million in debt. And the district had to take out a loan from the state and spent another 5 years having to repay that. Now, again, these stories are old news. They happened before today's high school seniors even started school. But some Christina residents keep on bringing up these items as though they had happened just the other day.
You mentioned management, and leadership has also been a factor in Christina, even lately, where turnover has seemed to be the norm in Christina with leadership, especially of late, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Leadership is an issue. First of all, Rick Gregg, who's the current superintendent, has been in the job for 3 years, and he's retiring at the end of the month. Now, he says that he's the sixth or the seventh superintendent that the district has had in the last 10 years. Normally, superintendents hold their jobs for 3-5 years, in that neighborhood. Now, on top of that, the school board decided in December not to renew the contracts of a number of other top administrators in the district. And that means that there's going to be a completely new management team settling in this summer in the district office. And then we've got the school board itself. Over the years, the board has not only battled with the superintendents that it has hired, but the members have been squabbling with each other. Now the board is in somewhat of a transition phase. Five of its seven members are in their first terms. There's not a huge amount of experience there, at least in terms of this particular district, but they are making a commitment to give the district a fresh start, change the culture, as it were, breathe some new life into the school system.
Now, the Christina board did settle on a new superintendent this week. What do we know about this hire, and what's next at the administrative level for Christina?
On Thursday night, at a virtual meeting, the board chose an experienced leader who has a four-generation connection with the district. Coming back home is Dan Shelton, who has been the superintendent of the Capital School District in Dover for the last 5 years. Before going to Capital, Shelton had been a teacher and principal at several schools in Christina for 17 years. His parents and his grandfather are graduates of Newark High School. He lives in the Newark area, and his children attend McClary Elementary in the district. In addition to the new superintendent, as I mentioned, a number of top administrators will have to be hired, including an assistant superintendent, a chief finance officer, and a human resources director. The new superintendent will certainly want to have a role in choosing the new central office team, but it's also important to have people in charge of HR and finances by July 1st, when the new fiscal year starts. So it's not really clear how that's going to play out, but keep in mind, too, that if this referendum fails, the board may have to do some more budget juggling just to figure out how to pay for some of these administrative positions.
Now, we should be clear here, Larry, that even without these kind of Christina-centric issues we've just been talking about, referendums remain problematic for almost every district in the state, right? Is this not a Christina-only problem?
You're quite true, Tom. Although we seem to talk a lot about Christina on the Green, this is a statewide problem. It's a failing of the system. A month ago, Delaware's Court of Chancery issued a ruling that the system the state uses for property taxes is unconstitutional. The system relies on assessed property values that date to the 1970s and 1980s. And what happens here is that school costs go up, just like our costs for food, clothes, housing, and other essentials go up, but the assessed values remain the same. So it takes a higher tax rate to generate the income that the schools need to keep themselves running. In Delaware, unlike most other states, school districts have to ask the residents to approve these tax increases. And it's the only time people can say no to higher taxes. They can't say no to income taxes, to county property taxes, or to any of the other taxes that they pay. But they can say no to school taxes, and they usually do, at least until enough people realize that the schools will be in dire straits if they say no one more time. This system needs to be fixed. Most people know it, but the people with the power to do so can't agree on how to get it done. In the meantime, Christina is indeed in dire straits, and sooner or later, other districts will be too.
And no matter what happens with the district leadership or this referendum, Christina's future does seem a bit hazy. Remind us a little bit about where Christina sits in the overall effort to address schools in Wilmington and educational equities across the state in general.
Okay, well, here's where we add one more layer of complexity to the Christina situation. You know, we've talked often about the ongoing efforts to improve schools in Wilmington, most notably the several that are in the Christina district, and more broadly to improve services for low-income and minority children throughout the state. The latest group to tackle the issue, the Reading Consortium on Educational Equity, has to give the state a plan next year on how to improve educational services in Wilmington, and in addition to that, the surrounding areas. Reorganizing school districts is an option, and there are lots of possibilities on the table. Pretty much all of them would give the Christina schools in Wilmington to another district. And there's also the possibility that Christina as a whole might disappear. If there is a reorganization, it wouldn't occur for at least 3 years, but it does give the districts one more thing, one more concern to think about.
Now, you spoke to a lot of people for your story this week. Is there any kind of consensus on the fate of this referendum?
Well, no, there's no real consensus on the fate of the referendum. But the list of the programs being cut, you know, athletics, music, Chinese immersion, all the extracurriculars, all of that seems to be designed to spur the various special interest constituencies within the district to turn out and vote yes, to vote for the referendum. Now, pass or fail, there are a couple of valid observations that we can make. If the referendum fails, education in the district will decline, and families who have the resources and the flexibility to do so are very likely to seek other options. If the referendum passes, at the very least, the schools will be back to where they were a year ago, and that level for funding anyhow should last for at least 3 more years. Will the schools get better? Now, that's the real question. And that's going to depend not only on passing the referendum, but also on the work of the new-look school board, the new superintendent, and the administrative team that still has to be hired. There's reason to hope. There's reason for optimism. But the picture is not going to become any clearer until after the votes are counted on Tuesday night.
Larry Nagengast, as always, we appreciate your time and your reporting on these very complex issues. Thanks for being with us on The Green again.
You're quite welcome, Tom.